Network. This is Democracy Now.
Fueran los escuadrones de la muerte.
Out with the death squads. Out with corruption. Out with drug trafficking and organized crime. No more poverty and misery. To victory. The people will always be united. Together, we are going to transform this country.
In Honduras, leftist candidate Xiomara Castro appears poised to become the country's first female president, putting an end to over a decade of right-wing rule. Castro's apparent victory comes 12 years after a U.S.-backed coup deposed her husband, President Mel Zelaya. We'll go to Honduras for the latest. Then NATO foreign ministers meet in Latvia as tension escalates between Russia and Ukraine as war on the horizon. And we look at how Wet'suwet'en land defenders are continuing to fight the Coastal GasLink pipeline despite Canada's militarized crackdown.
Come here, Molly, under arrest.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch her.
Get your hands off her. Get your hands off her.
You're under arrest.
Get your hands off her.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization's warning the Omicron coronavirus variant poses a very high risk to nations and could set off new waves of infections, especially in areas with low vaccination rates. On Monday, World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus thanked leaders in Southern Africa for sounding the alarm over the new variant and called for a global treaty to prevent, prepare for, and respond to future pandemics.
South Africa and Botswana should be thanked for detecting, sequencing, and reporting this variant, not penalized. Indeed, Omicron demonstrates just why the world needs a new accord on pandemics. Our current system disincentivizes countries from alerting others to threats that will inevitably land on their shores.
The World Health Organization has criticized travel bans against Southern Africa. On Monday, more than 2 million nurses from 28 countries filed a complaint with the United Nations demanding an investigation into wealthy countries that have blocked a proposed patent waiver for COVID-19 vaccines. The nurses accused the governments of protecting the profits of big pharmaceutical companies at the expense of public health. Meanwhile, Chinese President Xi Jinping has pledged to deliver 1 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccines to Africa, on top of the nearly 200 million doses China has already supplied. Only about 10% of Africans have received one vaccine dose, compared with 64% in North America. Here in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control has strengthened its recommendations to say all U.S. adults should get a vaccine booster shot. Meanwhile, Pfizer said it'll ask regulators this week to approve booster shots for 16 and 17-year-olds. At the White House, President Biden said the Omicron variant has cause for concern, not panic. He said the White House would work with drug companies to reformulate vaccines to be more effective against the Omicron variant.
So that we are prepared, if needed, my team is already working with officials at Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson to develop contingency plans for vaccines or boosters if needed.
A federal court in Missouri has temporarily blocked President Biden's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states. District Judge Matthew Shelp, a Trump appointee, ruled legal challenges to the mandate are likely to succeed because Congress has not granted the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services the power to enforce a vaccine mandate. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Monday the Pentagon has opened a high-level inquiry into the U.S. airstrike that killed dozens of women and children near the Syrian town of Bahuz in March of 2019. This comes after a New York Times investigation found the military spent 2.5 years covering up the attack, even though the death toll was almost immediately apparent to military officials, with one legal officer flagging the attack as a possible war crime. U.S. military officials downplayed the death death toll delayed reports and sanitized and classified evidence of civilian deaths. U.S.-led coalition forces bulldozed the blast site, and top military leaders were reportedly not notified. Iran's resumed talks in Vienna, Austria, aimed at restoring the 2015 nuclear deal after former President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the multilateral agreement in 2018 while imposing harsh economic sanctions on Iran. On Monday, Iran's top negotiator called the sanctions tyrannical, unlawful, and cruel, insisting Iran will never agree to a new deal unless the Biden administration first lifts the sanctions. An Australian government commission has revealed shocking details about Australia's federal parliament, describing it as a toxic workplace rife with gender inequality, bullying, and sexual harassment and assault. The investigation was opened earlier this year amidst allegations of sexual assault and rape inside the parliament building. On Monday, Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins announced her team's findings.
Over half, that is 51% of all people currently in Commonwealth parliamentary workplaces, have experienced at least one incident of bullying, sexual harassment, or actual or attempted sexual assault. Women we spoke to told us they felt lucky when they had not directly experienced sexual harassment or sexual assault.
Here in New York, opening statements began Monday in the federal sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, the British socialite who is accused of luring economically disadvantaged girls to be sexually abused by convicted predator and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutor Laura Pomerantz told the jurors starting in the 90s, Maxwell would recruit girls for Epstein to sexually abuse, telling the girls they had been hired to give massages. Pomerantz argued Epstein and Maxwell then devised a pyramid scheme of abuse and said the two were partners in crime. At least four women who were sexually abused as children by Epstein will be testifying during the trial, including a survivor who was 14 at the time. Maxwell faces up to 70 years in prison if convicted of all counts, including sex trafficking a minor. Epstein died in a Manhattan jail in 2019. New York's medical examiner ruled his death a suicide. CNN's announced it'll review newly released information that details how anchor Chris Cuomo helped his brother, the disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, strategize a defense against mounting accusations of sexual harassment. Thousands of pages of new evidence and sworn testimony were released Monday showing Andrew Cuomo, who was found to have sexually harassed at least 11 women, heavily relied on his allies, including his younger brother, to manipulate the press and discredit his accusers. Documents include text messages between Chris Cuomo and Melissa DeRosa, a former top aide to Governor Cuomo, suggesting the CNN anchor was instrumental in crafting his brother's defense strategy. Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and other Democratic lawmakers are calling on Republican leaders to hold Colorado Republican Congressmember Lauren Boebert accountable for recent hateful and Islamophobic comments. So far, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has refused the request. In a video posted to Twitter last week that's since gone viral, Boebert called Omar one of the first Muslim women elected to Congress, a member of the Jihad Squad, and joked she was a suicide bomber. On Monday, Congresswoman Omar confirmed she abruptly ended a phone call with Boebert after Boebert refused to publicly apologize for her remarks. Omar tweeted, quote, "There is only so much grace we can extend to others as humans before we must learn to cut our losses or hang up on someone in this case." The National Labor Relations Board has ruled Amazon violated U.S. labor laws that fought a unionization campaign by warehouse workers in Bessemer, Alabama, earlier this year. The ruling sets the stage for a new union election sometime in the next several months. More than 70% of Amazon workers who cast ballots in the union election in February voted against joining the retail, wholesale, and department store union. The union says the vote failed after an aggressive campaign of intimidation, interference, and surveillance by Amazon managers. On Monday, the NLRB agreed, ruling that Amazon worked illegally with the U.S. Postal Service to install a collection box at the warehouse one day before the voting was set to begin. Amazon managers then pressured workers to drop their ballots in the new collection box, casting doubt over the secrecy of the election. Trailblazing black former Congresswoman Carrie Meek died Sunday in her home in Miami. She was 95 years old. Born in Tallahassee, Meek was the daughter of a sharecropper and granddaughter of an enslaved woman. In 1993, Carrie Meek joined the U.S. House as one of the first black Floridians elected to Congress since the Reconstruction era. She championed affirmative action, economic opportunities for low-income people, and advocated for the U.S. to ease its restrictions of migrants from Haiti, where many of her constituents were from. Immigrant justice advocates are denouncing brutal and dangerous conditions faced by Haitian asylum seekers currently imprisoned at the Torrance County Detention Facility in Estancia, New Mexico. At least 50 asylum seekers who were previously sheltering under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, were taken to Torrance shortly after Border Patrol violently apprehended thousands of asylum seekers in September. Most have been deported by the Biden administration. Advocates are demanding Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, allow pro bono lawyers, provide the Haitian asylum seekers with in-person legal consultations at Torrance, that information about legal services be posted at the facility in Haitian Creole, and that ICE halt deportations and asylum seekers are released while their cases are resolved. The asylum seekers have also detailed mistreatment and medical neglect at Torrance, which is operated by the private prison corporation CoreCivic. In Bolivia, thousands of labor and indigenous leaders marched in La Paz Monday in support of socialist President Luis Arce, warning the world they would not allow another coup. The March for the Homeland was led by former Bolivian President Evo Morales, who was overthrown in November 2019 following a U.S.-backed right-wing military coup. This is President Luis Arce.
Hermanos.
Brothers, this is not the end. This is the beginning, because the people have come to defend their vote. They came to defend democracy, but they also came to tell those right-wing coup plotters, there will never be coups in our country.
And Barbados has officially removed Queen Elizabeth as its head of state, freeing itself from the British monarchy after nearly 400 years of colonization. In an overnight ceremony in the capital, Bridgetown, Dame Sandra Mason was sworn in as Barbados's first ever president.
And with firm resolve and in one voice, from this day and forever, declare Barbados a parliamentary republic.
Fireworks adorned the sky at midnight as Barbados officially became the world's newest nation. Ahead of the ceremony, Barbados held a national service of thanksgiving where Barbados Senator and Reverend John Rogers spoke.
Our seed is one that survived the journey that many should not have survived. Survived 300 years of a plantation system that many should not have survived. Every child born in this country is a gift of God, specially preserved, specially protected.
Prince Charles joined Monday evening's ceremony, where he formally acknowledged Britain's, quote, appalling atrocity of slavery in the Caribbean. The Barbadian singer, actress, and fashion designer Rihanna also attended the ceremony, where she was declared a national hero by Barbados's prime minister. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
A Tribe Called Red is the hallucination with their new record, One More Saturday Night, featuring Javier Mighty, Tanya Tagaq, and more, out now.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's KOUMBIT. We are not on Facebook.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be a few flurries and a high of 0 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be rain and a high of 5 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius. Saturday, there will be a few flurries and a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius. Sunday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 4 degrees Celsius. Monday, there will be snow and a high of minus 2 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 2 degrees Celsius.
Looking for something, and I saw a Peter Piper picking peppers, and I thought, what's a little chocolate before I go to bed? I was thinking while I was a-pacing, thought about the way I started chasing him, and thought, maybe once in a while I need a gun up to my head. I was moving, making dance moves just like in the movies, and I thought, if this is a movie, where is my pretty princess? Like my pillows, you are full of love. Furthermore, you ain't a part of me. Once I'm gone, you know it's all apologies. All apologies.
Get our hands. have something. Look me in the eye. Feeling off balance. Family on my mind. No, I don't want them to die. 'Cause it's wide open, wide open. The future is wide open, wide open. The future is wide open, wide open. The future is wide open, wide open.
Thank you. marching in. I wanna be in that number. When the saints come marching in, I wanna be in that number. I wanna see the light come shining through.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really you can listen to it anywhere at all.
The whole point of this podcast is we take those questions that have been keeping you up at night, the mysteries of the world, and we answer them in a teeny tiny bite-sized format.
Listeners send in those questions and we do our best to debunk them. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
how much does a cloud weigh?
Why is the sky blue?
Do plants have feelings?
And loads, loads more. I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And for the last 6 weeks, we've been teaming up with Cadbury Twirl to not only answer those mystery questions, but also to try to answer the most mysterious question of them all. What makes a twirl so twirly?
We've had our ideas, we've had our hypotheses, we've thought about this, we've thought about spiralizers, about dancing chocolate.
I have it, Marcus.
Go on. What makes a twirl so twirly?
So we have, up until this point, always thought that the inside of a twirl was made and then the outside was covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
But what if the shell on the outside was made first and then it was filled using a tiny little windmill that's blowing chocolate in little twirly waves inside the shell coating?
Oh, wow. That's controversial, but I like it.
Yes, yes, yes. That's good.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's how they get a twirl so twirly.
But I don't think that's it. I think my idea next week is how they do it.
Okay.
But you're just going to have to wait till then, because we have a big twirly thought question to get through right now.
I'm very, very, very excited about this one. It's one of the ones that I didn't even think I wondered until I wondered about it.
This week's question, coming from a Cadbury Twirl fan, is,
who put the alphabet in order?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This week's question asks, who put the alphabet in alphabetical order? Which, funnily enough, I've never actually thought about, considering I use the alphabet every single day.
I kind of just always thought it was like dictated by the natural flow of the letters A into B and C into D and so on.
I mean, do you know what? It does make a catchy song, A, B, C, D, E. But do you ever notice the alphabet is the same tune as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star?
No.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
How have I never noticed that before?
And you'll never guess who wrote it.
I actually do know this one.
Do you?
Mozart.
Nope.
You told me that.
No, I looked into it a little bit more. So basically, Mozart, it's commonly thought that Mozart wrote the melody, but he actually just composed arrangements of an existing melody, which originated in a French tune book, which was based on songs to be played at meals outside and was called Vous dirais-je, maman? Which is, oh, would you say, mother, in French? And the composer is unknown, but it's thought to be a French composer called Boilet.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't Mozart at all.
No, I listened to all his arrangements of it and they are banging. Can't wait to play them up in the club.
Okay, bonus fact for the episode. But seriously, let's get to the question at hand. Alphabet in order. If it wasn't Mozart and it wasn't to do with the natural flow of the letters, what's it all about?
Okay, so this question asked by a Cadbury Twirl fan is a fairly open and shut case. So we're going to expand on it a little bit, because the people who put the alphabet in order did so much more than just put the alphabet in order.
Oh, enlighten us then, wise one.
Okay, so before we go on, just to set the ground rules, we're talking about the modern English alphabet.
Say it as quickly as you can there.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Okay, I think I can do it faster.
I don't know.
Okay, guys listening, will you please email in and tell us who won this one? Are you ready?
Go on.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, P, Q, R, C, U, V, W, X, Y, and T. Sugar, I said T at the end.
That was freakishly fast. But do you know what?
Okay.
There's been loads of different alphabets throughout history, but we are focusing on the modern English alphabet.
The one I just recited at 0.2 of a second.
Yes.
So I assume it comes from England and the British Empire.
Nope.
Really?
Way before that, but you're on the right track. We are talking about an empire. The first people to use something resembling our alphabet, after it evolved from hieroglyphics and polyglyphs, I think they were called, and moved out of Egypt, were called the Phoenicians, right?
Phoenicians?
Yeah, who ruled a small empire of maritime city-states and colonies around the Mediterranean Sea. They had an extensive use of an alphabet in their business dealings throughout their vast trade network. And because of that, it became standardized throughout the whole Mediterranean regions. And then later versions of that were called the Phoenician alphabet.
No way. So it was the Phoenicians. I've never even heard of them.
Well, actually, no.
Okay.
The origin was the Phoenicians.
So the Phoenicians were the first ones to kind of put something like an alphabet together.
Yeah, well, to put the kind of the stems of our alphabet together.
Okay.
But the Greeks borrowed the Phoenician alphabet sometime in the 8th century BC or earlier. So this goes way back.
Whoa.
So they kept the order, but they adapted it for use with their own language. For example, the Phoenician alphabet didn't have letters representing vowel sounds, so A, E, I, O, U, which were important in the Greek language, and the Greeks added them in. So, I mean, that's a big kind of, you know, stepping stone towards the alphabet we use today.
Okay.
So after they worked out all the finer points of their new alphabet, Greeks living in the Italian peninsula came in contact with a tribe known as the Latins.
Ah, the Latins.
The Latins. Sometime in the 5th century BC, the tribe adopted writing from the Greeks and another tribe called the Etruscans, choosing and mixing letters from the two alphabets as they needed, right?
Okay, so we've got the...
We've got
the Phoenicians,
the Greeks, the Latins,
and the
Etruscans.
I've never even heard of them. Where are the Etruscans from?
I don't know where the Etruscans are from, but they were hanging out and they were all talking about language. As the Latins would expand in population, geographic size, and cultural influence over the centuries, creating, you know, a little empire called the Roman Empire.
Oh, Rome!
Yeah, there you go. They created the Roman Empire. They conquered most of Europe, and then the Romans took their alphabet with them and spread it to new lands.
So now the Romans claim the alphabet.
Basically, but it started off between the Greeks, the Phoenicians, the Etruscans, and the Latins.
Okay.
But then even when the empire eventually fell, the Latin alphabet survived with the people of the former Roman lands. And the alphabet was adapted to some native languages and exerted influence on others. Most notably for us, who were using Old English and Irish, which gave rise to Middle English and then the modern English alphabet that we use today. So, I mean, that's the open and shut answer of...
the evolution of the alphabet, I
and
suppose.
Who put it in order, right?
Okay. So it was the Greeks and the Romans, in hindsight, who kind of formed what we use today.
Yeah, and it takes its name from the first two letters of the Greek alphabet.
I know.
Go on.
Alpha, beta.
Alpha and beta. There you go. So that's where the word alphabet comes from.
Do you know what? The Greeks and Romans have really done a lot for civilization as we know it today. What else have they given us other than the building blocks of our language?
Well, that's kind of what I want to look into in this episode. It's kind of a little crash course into what the Greeks and the Romans have done for us. So
amazing.
Let's start with the Greeks. They've had a massive impact on the way we live, think, and generally exist. And I want to give them some credit here on In the Shower by giving a little list of their legacy.
I'm assuming this is all evolving around Greek yogurt, which is one of the best things in the world today.
Yeah, we can add that to the list. But do you know what? We're going to start the history with history.
Okay.
Right, so the Greeks were the first civilization to keep historical records of their own existence and exploits. And the first documented historian, Herodotus, who's known as the father of history, was the first person to do it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Imagine having that title. What a badass title. Father of history.
Oh yeah, and he has this amazing quote, being the father of history, right? He wanted to start documenting things so human achievement may be spared the ravages of time, and that everything great and astounding and all of the glory of those exploits which served to display Greeks and barbarians alike to such effect be kept alive. And additionally, and most importantly, to give the reason they went to war. So he wanted to document the wars between the Greeks and the barbarians and all of their achievements and everything in between. Really, really, really crazy.
So he basically wanted to make... He was the first person to know that historical records would be valuable down the line.
Yeah, that you know, you could learn from history. So he was the first person to actually, and the Greeks were the first people to really document their own history.
Were you a friend of the father of history? You must have been in your early 20s around that time.
Ha, ha, ha. You are hilarious. It's funny because I'm old, listeners. Okay?
Marcus is old. Okay, what else did the Greeks do for us other than bring you to us?
A big one would be democracy. The Greeks famously invented
history and democracy, like documenting history and then democracy. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. A big one would be democracy. As I said, the Greeks famously invented the basis for democratic government with elected officials representing their people. Decide everything on trade decisions to the death sentence to exile and property law. They were also the first people to introduce trial by jury. So obviously, living in a democratic country, Ireland, we have a lot to be thankful for.
That's insane. So that literally came from the Greeks.
Yeah, actually.
And a jury is a huge one. That's a huge part of democracy.
So the Greek word democratica literally means power to the people.
Power to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They also brought the Olympic Games, didn't they?
Yeah, you betcha. So every 4 years, the Olympic Games would be held in the city of Olympia in Greece to honour the god Zeus. Even the marathon is named after something Greek.
What?
Yeah. It's a little nod to Greek history because the first marathon commemorated the run of a soldier called, and I'll try this. If we have any Greek listeners, please send us in a little phonetic guide to this. His name was Pheidippides. He ran from a battlefield near the town of Marathon in Greece to Athens in 490 BC. And according to the legend, Pheidippides ran the approximate 25 miles to announce the defeat of the Persians to the anxious Athenians.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so they've done...
I wonder what his time was.
I don't know. I'd say
do you reckon he's beating Usain Bolt or Mo Farah?
Well, Usain Bolt is a sprinter. Mo Farah would be the one, yeah.
Mo Farah versus...
Pheidippides.
Okay, so what about the Romans? So the Greeks and the Romans, we kind of know that they, for the most part, are responsible for putting our alphabet in order. The Greeks clearly are responsible for a lot of the things that we still use today. The Olympic Games, democracy, keeping historical records. What did the Romans do?
So there's so much on this. And do you know what? I actually reckon that down the line, we're going to probably do a special series of episodes on both civilizations and maybe some other civilizations.
Because
it could be really cool to just have this little bite-sized historical.
What's the story with the Romans or something?
Yeah, because their influence is absolutely insane. But the Romans did a hell of a lot as well. So obviously, while the Greeks laid the foundations for philosophy, medicine, society, democracy and everything, the Romans and the Latins, the impact that they had is absolutely insane.
So come here, what was the time difference in terms of BC between the Greeks and the Romans? Which civilization came first?
I couldn't tell you the timeline between the two civilizations off the top of my head. We'll put it up on our Instagram or up on our Facebook. But I know that the Greeks came first.
The Greeks came first, so Greek and then Roman. Actually, we talked about something the Romans gave us on an episode about leap years, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is our calendar.
Yeah, the Romans designed the Julian calendar.
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong here, but the Julian calendar was the first to consist of 365 days along with the leap year every 4 years, and it forms the basis of the Gregorian calendar we use today. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And then the names of the months derive from Roman months, reflecting the important Roman impact on our modern diaries, I suppose.
Yeah.
The most obvious for July and August, which are named after the early rulers Julius Caesar and Emperor Augustus.
There you go. Yeah, July was named after Julius and August was named after Augustus.
Not Augustus Gloop. Not Augustus Gloop.
Not Augustus Gloop. But no, you're not mistaken. And how widespread the Roman Empire was. I mean, like when you actually look at how big the Roman Empire was, it was insane. It covered a massive portion of the known world at the time. It meant that these ideas traveled and were adapted much further than their immediate area geographically. Another idea that the Romans spread was currency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So before the Roman Empire, certain tribes had coins or traded in resources or livestock, but there wasn't one standardized currency.
Okay, so and a lot of bartering too, I assume.
Yeah, but the Roman Empire had one because they needed one because it was so large.
Okay.
So, yeah, you could use your Roman coinage in Britain or Turkey or North Africa or in the capital, Rome, and it would have the same value and worth.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
So genuinely, without the Greeks and the Romans, the world would be a completely different place today.
I mean, when you look at it, it could be lawless, still controlled by dictatorships and oligarchies.
the foundations of maths would be different, and philosophy.
Yeah, as well as medicine. I mean, Hippocrates was the father of modern medicine. He was from Greece.
They're also responsible for plumbing and sanitation, aren't they?
Do you know, actually, funnily enough, do you know why a plumber is called a plumber?
Why?
Because the Roman word for lead is plumbum.
And what does lead have to do with plumbing?
It was made, that's what the original pipes were made from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were also responsible for kind of arts, weren't they? Like theatre.
Theatre, art, mythology. When you look at the concept of a normal amphitheatre or a stadium, they came from Greeks and Romans.
I mean, they put the alphabet in order and they did so much more as well.
And Taz, do you know what the most important thing of all is?
Oh God, what's that?
The Greeks are credited with inventing the first form of the shower. So without them, we might not even have a shower to do our podcast
in. Do you know what?
What?
I'm obviously very thankful for history and currency and roads and medicine and democracy, but I am most thankful for showering because, Marcus, that is where we unite and tell people the mystery questions that they didn't even know they had.
There you go.
Come here, do you have any facts to end the episode?
I have some little ones, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
So this has been a fairly fact-heavy episode, so I'll just kind of keep these light. The Greeks had some really strange superstitions about food.
Okay.
Some wouldn't eat beans, as they thought they contained the souls of the dead.
Stop.
Yeah.
Well, if that was the case, I am full of so many souls of dead people because I love beans.
Yeah, and I know where they're escaping from. And our final fact.
Oh, God.
So we mentioned that they invented the Olympics, the Greeks. And events included wrestling, boxing, long jump, javelin, discus, chariot racing and more. But those taking part in the wrestling event had to be the toughest. They were the big burly men. There were hardly any rules except that they had to compete naked.
What?
You'd want to shower after that. So there you have it. The Greeks and the Romans put the alphabet in order with some help from the Etruscans and the Phoenicians, but they did so much more as well.
I wonder what the Irish are going to be remembered for.
Probably this podcast. I hope.
I hope so. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you like what you heard, then good news, there's so many episodes. I'm talking over 50 facts for you to listen to. You will be a more interesting dinner party guest if you binge those episodes, and you'll have a laugh in the process.
Also, a massive thanks to anyone who came to our first 3 live shows. Just this weekend, just gone at Electric Picnic. It was really cool to meet so many people who listened to the podcast and to kind of interact face to face. It's weird, you know, because here we're talking into microphones, but there we were talking to you live and direct.
It was really, really nice to put a face to some names. And if you are a listener and you want to get in touch and say hi, we would so love to hear from you. As Marcus said, you're invisible to us. So when we get a message or an email to our Facebook or our Instagram or our email, it really, really does put a little smile on our faces. So get in touch. You can get us on email at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
You can get us on Instagram and Twitter at intheshowerpod. And on Facebook, just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
As we said, this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus is sponsored by Cadbury Twirl. And next week, we'll be answering some more Cadbury Twirl fan questions, as well as tackling the most mysterious question of them all.
What makes a twirl so twirly?
Okay, before we tell you what next week's question is going to be, a few thank yous to wrap up the episode.
A massive thank you to all the crew in Headstuff, Alan, Paddy and co. We couldn't do what we do without you.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for our cover art. We love you, Flo.
Big thank you to all the folks at Cadbury Twirl for partnering with us and letting us do what we do the way we do it.
And finally, thank you so much, Dave Gertzman, for our amazing theme music and amazing new theme song that he sent us during the week. He went out of his way to record an In the Shower Taz and Marcus jingle for us, which we're going to play when we end this episode. And it's really brilliant. Thank you, Dave, for sending it on.
If you need a jingle created, do check out Dave's Recordorama on Instagram. He is a hero and he's really good.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question is a great one, and it is: why do we cross our fingers for luck?
That episode is going to be out next Monday morning in time for your shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
function. I'm four step plan, another function. It's a function, it fluxes. Hold in harmony, you're so seductive. But I'm deductive. The break is greater than the weight. The weight is bigger than the stakes. And I'll be pulling all the stops when the shot clock clock. Yes, it's awful, let's get it on. As the micro feeds this mass machine, carbon tiles scattered, manufacturers spread this glimpse of dreams. Bleeds, it's tantrum feeds, it's grip that keeps it tight. It's lean, hovers like a wish made through the night. And I grow soft when the killing was the kids, was the will, was the spirit. Shit, did you get it?
That wraps up the show for today. Have a great time listening to CKUT